bitch, jungleist, specialist, critical and survivalist, spitting heaven fire from his lips, burning slave driver.
Welcome, listeners, to Time for an Awakening on Black Talk Radio Network, New Media for the New Millennia. This is a history and current events program from a cultural perspective. We find this program necessary because Hosea 4:6 states, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge," but we as a people can turn this around. Proverbs 4:7 states, "Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom." With all that, getting an understanding. Again, welcome to the program this evening with your hosts, Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. The number to reach us to join the conversation this evening is 215-490-9832. Again, that's 215-490-9832. We're streaming live at several locations. You can go to timeforanawakening.com, which is the homepage, and catch the live stream from that location. You can go to www.blacktalkradionetwork.com/timeforanawakening. Again, that's www.blacktalkradionetwork.com/timeforanawakening. Catch the live stream there also. You can go to our RadioNetwork.com. Again, that's our RadioNetwork.com. They broadcast out of the Black Belt and catch the live stream there. Or you can download TuneIn to any of your handheld devices. TuneIn is a free app. And in that TuneIn search engine, just type in Time for an Awakening. There you'll see the icon and you can stream your program live, even into your car if you had the Bluetooth capabilities or the auxiliary connection. Again, that's Time for an Awakening radio program with the live stream on the TuneIn app. Drop us an email at timeforanawakening@gmail.com. Again, that's timeforanawakening@gmail.com. Time for an Awakening also has a fan page on Facebook. In that Facebook search engine, just type in Time for an Awakening radio program. There you always see interesting content being posted daily by myself or Brother Richard. Now do me a favor, before you leave that page, just hit that like button. That's Time for an Awakening radio program with the fan page on Facebook. And Time for an Awakening Media is there, always full of the latest podcasts of the various programs on Time for an Awakening Media. Interesting articles that you can read, download at later times, and share with your friends. Also, check out that Time for an Awakening Marketplace and our partnership with the BB Toomey. Always interesting things being put in the marketplace all the time. Different African language classes, classes on education, economics, social systems, health, and much more being taught by professors on both the continent and in the diaspora. So make that one of your favorites. Put that in your address bar. That's timeforanawakening.com. Timeforanawakening.com will take you straight to Time for an Awakening Media. It's 7:08 here in the city of Philadelphia on September the 27th, this calendar year. And we're in freestyle mode here this Sunday evening with no guests scheduled. Usually on Sunday we have guests, but no guests scheduled this Sunday. So the time is yours. You can always get involved in the conversation by dialing 215-490-9832. Again, that's 215-490-9832. We'll be right back to get the program started after a brief word from our sponsors.
Mr. Moderator, our distinguished guests, brothers and sisters, our friends and our enemies. Everybody is here.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Not a Wu-Tang-a. All Insurance Incorporated, an African-American owned and operated insurance agency and business for over 20 years, located at 231 Southeastern Road in Glenside, PA, with other offices in Germantown and West Philadelphia. Call now for commercial insurance quotes, homeowners insurance quotes, automobile insurance quotes, notary and tax services, representing over 15 major A-rated insurance companies, offering a discount on all notary services when you call in for a free quote. Call this number, 215-885-2444. That number is 215-885-2444. 215-885-2444. All Insurance Incorporated.
Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley. Dooley Brothers, specializing in shingle, rubber roofs, gutters, downspouts, and vinyl sidings. Call for your free estimate today. 215-224-3882. That's 215-224-3882. Dooley Brothers Roofing, the roofing experts you can trust. That number again, 215-224-3882. 215-224-3882. Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley.
RG Electrical Inspections provides electrical inspections for realtors, licensed electricians, and homeowners. Licensed and insured underwriter, serving Philadelphia and surrounding area. Call today, 484-268-9837.
Overworked? Suffering with an underperforming company, headache customer, staff, or vendors? Or are you a startup who wants to get it right the first time and avoid the costly mistakes? We turned a $24,000 a year odd job handyman service into a seven-figure high-end custom home builder and commercial contractor licensed and operating in three states. This is just one transformation created for entrepreneurs like you in various industries around the country. Not what you're used to from accounting and business consulting? Well, welcome to New Business Solutions. If you're ready to go beyond advising, coaching, and training and get implemented results, call 301-244-9072. Let New Business Solutions apply the best comprehensive administrative, accounting, operations, human resources, management, sales, and marketing to help you actualize your vision for yourself and your company. From anywhere nationally, call 301-244-9072. Spelled new as in numerous on your device right now. Book your free consultation at newbusinesssolutions.com.
History is a clock that people use to tell their political and cultural time of day. It is also a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells of people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most important, history tells a people where they still must go, what they still must be. The relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
From antiquity to the present, our people need to develop a new paradigm. It's time for an awakening with your host, Brother Elliot. Sundays, 7 p.m., Fridays at 8 p.m. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit us up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com. Welcome back to Time for an Awakening. It's 7:13 here in the city of Philadelphia. And before I get started with our program, let me welcome in our co-host, Philadelphia activist and tour guide at the African-American Museum here in Philadelphia at 7th and Arch Street. Brother Richard is with us. Brother Richard.
Yes, sir, Brother Elliot.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. I got to give the Richard weather report, right? Hey, the heat went up.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And I walked out the door like I had a hoodie in the whole bit. I'm like, oh.
Oh, come on, Richard. You had a hoodie on when you went outside today.
Yeah. I had to go back in because when I went out the door, I was like, dang, it's warm out here, you know, and I had to drill down to a t-shirt. So I apologize. That threw me off because I still had the earlier when it was chilly, you know.
Yeah,
going on here?
Don't worry. In about a couple more weeks, you can put it on and keep it on for a while.
Yeah, I guess you know, for me, it's a if not a segue or metaphor, just seeing coming across the phone, somebody finally got Trump's tax return.
Oh, I don't know. Okay,
and they said he hasn't filed taxes in 10 years, or he hasn't paid taxes, federal taxes. They're making a thing out of that, which made me say, you know, like, you know, this thing about the taxes. Oh, they're talking about unpack my thermostat. I am turbo. this election and the fear on one hand and the serious concern on the other of our participation is driving me to it's driving me into history, you know, again, looking at us. And I'm still trying to formulate it. I think I was trying to tell you earlier, so I don't want, because I'll be rambling, but I just find it, interesting. I don't know if you, cause I ask people, and sometimes I'm delusional, but when Trump came into office, didn't the president that he put, each president has a picture of a president, I guess, that they represent. And wasn't his president Andrew Jackson?
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. In fact, it was, you know, yeah.
And Jackson being, you know, the whole thing of the, you know, I mean, he was an interesting character in the sense of how, you know, being a poor boy, a hooligan, and, you know, coming out of the backwoods and, you know, making his way by being a, selling human bondage, you know, into the human bondage business, and then in the military and you know, like going after those Africans in say the state of Florida, if I'm not mistaken. Well, it wasn't a state, it was a Spanish colony, and, you know, securing that, the fort of the Africans, the place, I think it was Fort Mosaic.
Fort Mosaic.
That Africans were, you know, in control over, which for those large plantation owners were they had a certain challenge because the Africans on those plantations who had the courage, the fortitude, the strategic understanding of how to liberate themselves, that was one of the destinations they were making themselves to,
mm-hmm.
You know, and because of that, he eventually becomes, you know, gets for being able to capture that, you know, that colony and that fort and stop that traffic for moving in liberated zones. He, it became popular amongst the, especially the southern states and large plantation owners. So eventually, as we know, he becomes the president. And not only that, which I find interesting, you know, and I'm just recanting this because he's also, because in those states, they were anti the financial system, anti-bank. And wasn't when Trump came in, one of the things that, well, before Trump came in, I don't know if people remember that, but it was a big thing about, you know, the Federal Reserve. I mean, like, we need to get rid of the Federal Reserve. You know, white folks was upset, especially after the bankers got all the money in 2008, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Trump was...
Obama, you know, bailed them out. And also Bush, yeah. Bush before him.
Right. I mean, they came... Now, I don't know, the way I remember with Bush the Elder, what was that, Bush the Younger, they came to the White House to figure out what they were going to do. And Paulson, who was also from the investment bank, he just wrote up a one-page thing on how this was going to happen, you know, which really got transferred to Obama, in the sense of bailing out the banks because they were too big to fail. But I don't know who it was, working class whites and interested in those who were anti-Federal Reserve, they were making a big stink, and Trump came in kind of like also anti-bank. What I'm trying to say is that Trump symbolically was supposed to is representing that. And the thing about the Jackson piece that comes close home to Philadelphia and Pennsylvania is that Pennsylvania was a state, is now for Trump, is what they call it, a swing state.
Yeah, battleground. Like, mm-hmm.
One of those states that he got to capture. And we here in Pennsylvania always knew Pennsylvania is up south. You know, like if you ride through, you get out of Philadelphia going west, one report was Pennsylvania probably had one of the largest Klan communities in the North,
mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying is that they also supported Trump. They came out and supported Trump in 16, and Pennsylvania history as far as in relationship to Jackson also supported Jackson. But the interesting thing, and I'll stop here on this, is that free Africans from 1780, 1799 in New York, 1780 in Pennsylvania, and then Rhode Island, they had the right to vote from 1780 to 1836. And then that was, and I think I like the term that you, that right to vote was denied in 1838 in Pennsylvania. And then not only what's interesting that those free Africans were on the side of the bankers politically. So they were voting against the people that Jackson supported Jackson in the 1820s. And here, and the reason I'm looking at this, because I'm raising this question, I'm stuck on our internal class challenge. I'm asking myself, in spite of, and I understand everybody, those who want to vote and got to vote, their fear that, to reason why everybody got to come out and vote to get rid of Trump. But because I believe this thing is systemic and historically repeating itself, I'm asking myself, within the Black community as it stands, who benefits? Who benefits? Whether Trump is in, Trump, what is the other guy, and Biden, and what's the other sister? Whoever gets in, who benefits within the Black community? And I might be naive and uninformed, but I'm stuck on this, Elliot, and maybe the listening audience, and just me talking, they can, help me out in trying to get me to sway that the black corporate community, the Black political professionals, and those who have a certain level of income and wealth and position and influence, they will benefit regardless who is in the seat. Does that mean that we shouldn't vote? Am I advocating people don't vote because ain't nothing gonna change? No, that enfranchisement is, every individual's right. But I think we need to really deal with the question of the day after, what are we going to be putting in place? Because we cannot continue. Things are going to get tighter. And in that 19th century, when they had the right to vote, they lost that enfranchisement. We're looking at a lot of people are not going to be able to get jobs because of the shift. And because of what they're talking about, stealing the vote, a lot of people are not going to be able to exercise political power unless we organize differently than what we're doing now. And it seems like those people who are going to benefit aren't really telling us that, more than trying to frighten us into, you know, in the public, what they call it, propaganda, that we need to vote to get Trump out. Like Trump is it, compared to that the way the structure of the system at this point is going to be hurting a lot of people, like all the people that have got hurt by this pandemic in the last 6 to 7 months. That was just, you know, a thought that, you know, as everybody's like in this here, now we'll be down to 39. They counting down now, down to 39 days. And it just gets me that about that. But it is making me look over this history, which once I really fully develop it to show the patterns, I'm going to show that it's something interesting in relationship to the Black political elite and their alliances and the lack and the friction between them and the Black populace, and not coming up with a solid political infrastructure so that we can be able to at least protect ourselves as this system change. You know, that's me ranting.
Well, I don't think it's a rant, Richard. I think it's a legitimate question to put to our people or to the audience. I'll go a little bit further, or maybe, I think we're on the same path in regards to this, but, you know, you use that term a lot about an internal colony.
Mm-hmm.
And our people being an internal colony here. Can an internal colony have power in this quote unquote democracy? Malcolm said this democracy is a hypocrisy because it shows one face, but it means another. I don't think I put the definition here. I'm going to read the definition here of colonialism and neocolonialism. Now, we're not under neocolonialism because that kind of fits another portion of our family that is not here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at the definition of colonialism. It's the practice of domination, which involves the subjugation of one people to another. One of the difficulties in defining colonialism is that it's hard to distinguish it from imperialism. Frequently, the two concepts are treated synonymously. In the process of colonization, colonizers impose their religion, language, economics, and other cultural practices on a people. Now, Richard, did that happen to us? And is that still happening to us? That's an honest question to ask all of our people. Now, some of our people might be in denial. I think in one of the collages I play, Khalid Muhammad asked the question when he made the statement. He said, "I'm a slave." He said, "You're a slave. Unless we admit that we are slaves, we can never get free." He has a point there in what he's saying. A perfect example. I mean, we have constant examples of this. You just gave an example from over 200 years ago where our people, quote unquote, had the right to vote, but then it was repealed.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, it was given back again in, 1865 with the 15th Amendment.
Right.
But it was never enforced, and it was a sham until 1964, 100 years later. So we can see a shell game that's always been played on our people. But look at, I think it was this week, the listeners can correct me if I'm wrong, or earlier this week, they passed the Crown Act. Or it was talked about, or I think it was passed. Like I said, the listeners can clear me up on it. And here locally, they interviewed a lot of blacks, particularly women, on some of these stations. And they were talking about how happy they were that this has become a law now where they can wear their hair any way they want in a natural state coming out of their head. And I was just looking at this Because how are we happy that we got permission from Europeans to wear our hair any way we want? I mean, are we still slaves?
Mm.
Is that evidence of a colonized people? I think that it is.
Mm.
Well, white folks don't have to get any permission how their hair comes out of their head, beard, anything else. They wear anything they want on these jobs without fear of repercussion. But some of these professions tell especially our women, and you've seen some of it with men now when they was getting their braids shaved off their head, mm-hmm. cut and all with pair of scissors, yeah. just hacked
young,
their head.
Yeah, young people.
Yeah. They've been mm-hmm. telling our women that they can't wear their hair in a natural state. And then these women subjugate themselves to all types of chemicals in their hair falling out, and things of that nature, all to appease somebody else. They did an interview with one of the radio, the TV personalities here, a sister. And she stated when she got her job on this particular channel over 12 years ago, that she had an interview process. And she said the person that did the interview, and she said that she was wearing her hair in a natural state at the time, mm. In braids. And the person that did the interview, she said in this segment, he looked like me. So, yeah, he was black. So she said that she went through the interview and he raved about how great she was and he think that she would end up working at the station. But then she said that he told her, one thing I want you to remember going forward, don't ever wear your hair like this in a professional setting again. So she said that she was really upset and bothered her and, you know, but she did it. And she's been wearing her hair in all types of weaves and perms and everything ever since. But now she feels so happy and alleviated that a law was passed that she can wear her hair any way she wants. And I'm just saying that to say that it's more and more evidence to prove that we're colonized people. Just like you said, an internal colony. Some blacks don't want to realize that. And if they don't, they don't. But in order for our children, if we want a future for our babies, we have to understand that we're still oppressed here. And until this system that we live under is totally abolished, we won't have freedom. You asked that question, Richard, about the privileged class
mm-hmm.
among black people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll ask this question to the listening audience to get them involved. Because I want people to really look at this. Because when you see these people like Paris Denard and what's the girl's name? The woman's name? The one that they always be ripping on. Brother Otis might have to help me on that one. Candace Owens. Owens. Okay. Mm-hmm. When you see Candace mm-hmm. Owens, Paris Denard, I think Trump got a new guy. That's over this platinum plan that he's talking about for black people. It's mm-hmm. a black guy. Look like he's in maybe mid to early 30s. His name, I don't know it. But, you know, you see all these young blacks because some of the older black conservatives like the Herman Cain's and them is leaving the scene.
Right.
So they got to cultivate a new class
right.
of blacks. Whether you're talking about those type of people or whether you're talking about the people that work for so-called liberals, Biden has the one that's over his campaign director. She used to be on CNN. Where's the short fade?
You got me on that.
Some of our listening audience know these people. I don't know all their names, but whether you're talking about the black political operatives. Mm-hmm. That work for either party. The thing is this. They have the same objectives for our people in mind. I think our people really have to look at that and understand that clearly. They have the same objectives for our people. The objective is assimilation. Whether you're talking about conservatives and some of the people I mentioned, or whether you're talking about our black people that work for these liberals, they have the same objective. It's assimilation. They want you to basically capitulate to what's going down, what white folks want to put down, whether they conservative agenda or liberal agenda. They want you to go along with it. It's their job to convince you to go along with it. You can't fight it. They don't want you to fight it. They don't want the type of spirit of Malcolm, Martin, any of these people, Farrakhan, any of these people that fight against it or speak openly against it. They don't want that. They want you to assimilate, whether you are a black conservative or a black liberal. Assimilation is on their mind. And if they can get you to assimilate, they'll be well rewarded.
As you were saying that, you know, and listening, and again, it's this thing, because when you walk the streets and it's different than the images that the propaganda images, I'm gonna call that they give us today, or at least around me, the propaganda image they give us of the Depression in the 30s, where they show you these long lines and, you know, people who are out of work and whatever. When I walk in the street, I don't now, as things are being gentrified in my area, I don't see that. But we know, when we look at the numbers, a large portion of black people, you know, I heard a guy on the bus today, you know, he had said something to the bus driver, and then he had to say, you know, as he's sitting down, and he said it with, here's a black man, don't, you know, he's not older, maybe 40s or whatever, I ain't got no money. Right? So he has to talk to somebody to be able to get this ride, because he don't have no money. And I'm saying that when we look at the numbers within the plan, I don't know about what's happening in Western Pennsylvania. I don't know about what's going on in these small counties, poor white counties. I don't know, you know, and I'm shielded, yes, and that's not my interest. I ain't saying from a human perspective, I'm not concerned, but that's not my interest. My interest is looking at the large number of black people and family members who are struggling, and, you know, young people, 20s, 30s, to try to act out a way in this here environment. And this is not no new thing. Like, me growing up around people who became crack addicted or heroin addicted and people who were alcohol coming out of Vietnam and dealing with the trauma of going to an unjust war, when we were having a economic and social war right here. And I ain't even dealing with, you know, the historical part, that maybe 20 or 30 years before that, the same thing was going on, whether it was the Korean War or World War II or World War I, black men and women coming back and having to deal with the condition that they're living in, and nothing's changed.
Well, the system was set, but Richard, the system, and you know this, the system was set up for the masses of our people to be oppressed.
Right.
Now, you gave a perfect scenario, and we talked about it the other week when with our guests about just before the that New Deal, and you mm-hmm. talked about the lines that you've seen folks in.
Mm-hmm.
You had that same system that Europeans had set up for their own folks. Now, during that same period, we were segregated from white society. So we had set up our own economy among ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And even though we were a little deficient, we were making it and mm-hmm. flourishing in a lot of different areas. It was whites that was feeling the brunt. So they started all kind of stuff, killing folks all in these cities. Vicious gangs, gangsters. You watch the History Channel now. They revere some of these people. These people were killers. And then in the suburban or rural areas, and I'm talking about the Capones and the Meyer Lansky's and all these people was in urban areas. In these rural areas, you had the Bonnie and Clydes, the Dillingers. You had whites doing all kind of foolishness to make a living. They were stealing, robbing, breaking in banks. I think the last straw was when they kidnapped that Lindbergh baby. Mm. They knew that they had to do something, and then when the market crashed, they knew they couldn't set things up the way it was before. They had to do something to help their people. It wasn't about helping you. Mm-hmm. So they came up with this New Deal. The New Deal was for them, and it created what we consider now, or what they consider now, the white middle class.
Mm-hmm.
Where most
of people, and the wealth divide that they're talking about.
Exactly.
Now.
But before that time, Richard, you had the so-called one percenters, you had wealthy whites, and the rest was basically poor or working poor. You didn't have no middle class. They established a middle class for whites. So now the majority of whites, if you all look at economic figures, the majority of the whites fall into that middle class bracket. You still got poor whites, but the majority of whites are middle class, where the majority of black people are poor or working poor. So this thing is socially engineered, it's set up, so you'll always be on the bottom. That's why I'm saying, how can we think that you're not making policy, practicing policy for these people? You're not. They're making it for you. You might think you are, or you might be rewarded when you get some of these positions to be a professional politician, what you call it, the entrepreneur, political entrepreneur. And you can help yourself and maybe some of your cronies, but then the masses of our people are still suffering. And you ain't doing nothing about it. A lot of times you can't do nothing about it, and sometimes you don't want to do anything about it.
And
let me finish this thing. Their idea of living in peace with a people, especially when you have a people that's quote-unquote colonized, is different than what you think or believe. You might have an opinion, and I'll use an example of the Native Americans that was here. I looked up from 1778 to 1871, the United States government, the Europeans, because the government is not like some unseen entity, but it's stated here, the United States government. For the sake of conversation, I'll word it just the way it states. The United States government entered into more than 500 treaties with Native Americans, all of which were outright broken by the United States government. Only one was broken by Native Americans that they acknowledged was broken by Native Americans. So all of the treaties, and I'm gonna just go the way I want to. All of these treaties that they set up with Native Americans was broken by the government, because in their mind, peace was not on the same terms of what the Native Americans believed. When they signed those agreements or treaties, they wanted to be left alone wherever they were, so they can conduct their lives like they always had been conducting their lives. But to Europeans, their terms of peace was based on what they term it. So if they didn't want you on land, their terms of peace was put them on a reservation and take your land. To them, that was manifest destiny. They got all types of terms, manifest destiny, hegemony. It's all types of stuff. But everything is on their terms. It's the same thing with black folks. You can do what you want. You can protest. You can have movements. But they're going to be on our terms. And we'll get blacks to go along with the terms that we want and then promote it among black people.
Mm-hmm. And they drilling down, Elliot. They drilling down, you know, in the social, with this latest advertising that the Democrats has put out about, get your booty to vote.
Oh, my. You see that? You know what? Ralph shared that with me. Now, that ain't somebody. Listen, somebody got paid to put. That's a political ad, Richard.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody got paid to put that insulting ad up there. That's insulting. And somebody black did it. I know they did. And sure, it was whites involved, but somebody black was involved in that. Now, they got another one, and I'm going to play it in a few minutes. I'm going to go get a couple callers, a caller or two, but I'm going to play this ad that Biden got in a barbershop with men and the comments that some of these men make. I made a clip. Roland Martin interviewed some people, some PhD professors at different universities, their opinions on the political ad. I'm going to play both the political ad and some of these comments, and then you can see more clearly. If you don't understand what I'm talking about, you can see more clearly what I'm talking about these political operatives, whether you're talking about staunch conservatives or quote-unquote liberals. If they're black, they got one thing in mind for the masses of black people, and that's assimilation, period.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to play that probably in the second hour of the program. One other thing, because we're in open forum, so callers can basically talk about whatever they want, and I'm going to go to the phones in a minute. But the situation that happened, or the ruling that came down in reference to Breonna Taylor, I know none of our people were surprised at that. They couldn't be surprised that none of these cops are going to be prosecuted for murdering that young lady in her room, in her bedroom at 3 in the morning when they bust the door down.
Hmm.
Nope, now, I think the one cop they're so-called prosecuting for shooting indiscriminately into somebody else's apartment. But he's not going to serve any time for that. I think they just had to do something to try to save face. But you got, you know, and that made me kind of look, you know, because we was just talking about people that use different things for their advantage. But black folks is out front, and I mean it's a weird dynamic, Richard. It's almost nasty and diabolical as far as I'm concerned. But the way people use our people, and a lot of times, it's a well. Let me say this here. Let's do this. Let's go to a couple of these calls because I want to play that political ad. Then I'll share this what I'm talking about. Let's go first to 404. Are you there?
Hey, you Hoodoo brothers, y'all hear me?
How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm good, man. Hey, Richard and Elliot, man, y'all sound like y'all perplexed about what's going on.
Perplexed about what?
Not perplexed at all.
Wait a minute. Perplexed about what?
I mean, gloom and doom, man. Okay? I keep telling y'all.
Wait a minute. I'm perplexed about gloom and doom? Wait a minute. Hold it. What? I'm perplexed about gloom and doom. What do you mean by that?
The way you talk about what we're into right now, man. Okay? Just the way, I study what people say and the sound they use.
Okay. So how am I perplexed about it?
Well, not perplexed, but
well, that's what you said.
Maybe I used the wrong word, perplexed, but dismayed, stuck in a rut or so to speak. But see, I had this conversation with Joe Brown, and see, I always look at what people don't say too, and see, we've been tricked by this one word. You probably heard me say it on Carl's show a few times. Only just ice word, man. Okay, that's a trick freaking word, man. It ain't no just us. It's just ice. Spell it. J-U-S-T-I-C-E. That's just ice. Okay? So you ever heard this saying, be careful what you ask, you're going to get it, right? That is true, brother. Okay? So I study the way it's called for every action, an equal and opposite reaction, right? So whatever we say going to happen, bro. So like I said, that's how the universe works, whether we know it or not. And we also got something called collective conscience. So everybody keep asking for just ice, that's ice. All we going to get is a cold-ass winter. Okay, and if you really want some water in the damn freezer. Okay, the universe works on, like I said, if I throw a rock, y'all gonna throw a rock back. That's the way the universe works. So the word we should be using is reciprocity. And it worked, man. I done tried just saying stuff, and it happened. Y'all, it probably happened to y'all. Y'all don't even know it. So, but if we use collective consciousness and quit, because see, on Carl's show, I don't know if y'all know it, last year, we turned that storm, man. With all us saying the same thing and thinking the same thing, it happened. So if we just tweak what we saying and do it like, okay, we want reciprocity. We do it for one day, all us thinking on this call, and said, we want reciprocity. We want the universe to work on this karma thing. And whatever happened, the bad from these devils is going to happen on the same. See, right now, they know that their time is up, man. So every damn thing they try to do has been a calamity. Y'all notice that? Just go look at the weather. Look at this damn plague shutdown. And every week you see one of their military weapons tearing up, man. Plane crashing, helicopter crashing. That little duck boat, that little amphibious box he had, sunk, and then the ships catching on fire. See, it's coming to an end, man. It's prophesied in the book. And so the Negroes, most of them that be not righteous, I hate to say it, but especially the ones that hang around them devils, they getting taken out, man. You saw the cases where that brother was in the woods with them. They had his ass booted all over. Then there's another story that came out with this boy, black guy they found in his ditch. Remember that? On fire. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And come to find out, he was one of them devil friends.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One of them folk devils that they call, he was one of them so-called good buddies. And they strangled him and put him on fire. So the best thing to do is separation, man. And let this stuff fall. Get out the streets because these folks fighting amongst themselves now, man.
And that's where I think that right there is where, you first categorize it as gloom and doom and whatever. Because if that, I always use the term strategic. If separation or some form, and Elliot, you know, opened up with being a colony. If those of us are looking, are moving. Now, I'm all for the universe and positive thinking and being on mental accord. But not, and I shouldn't say but, although we have to do more of the organizing or creating the relationships, the effective relationship, because their bombs can blow up, their forests can burn down. And if we haven't created out of that separation an ideal and a behavior of a just society as it relates to each other, and that doesn't just mean that we are going to contemplate that into being, we have to be doing something.
I know it, exactly.
And what I guess I'm expressing is, when I'm hearing all the energy, the collective energy, or at least the collective propaganda, and what I hear people are responding to is just pulling the lever compared to what is it we're going to have to do in order to be able to create, and I'm adding another term to your point of separation, that's just society. That requires something out of us that we exhibit, you know, in the interviews that we have. I mean, I'm right now, you know, Charles Barron from New York, you know, like he gave us the model. And what we have to do is be able to say, well, how is that being manifested in the areas where we live to create the relationship of being able to develop power, not just willpower, not just mentally configure in our mind power, but do something.
So your question is, right? Hey, hold on before you get all the way out there. You got groups that's doing that, man. You might not know, but everybody, people that's coming together, man, and little small cells, they ain't advertising. Like them sisters down there in South Georgia, they do a little too much advertising. But you got groups all over the world that look like us is coming together, man. The universe is grouping us, man.
They're not just doing any praying or meditating. They're taking action.
That's what I said.
No, that's not what you said in the beginning. You're talking about we turn the storm by just meditating on it. You know, because some of those things, come on. You got to do a little better than that.
Man, you didn't let me finish. I was getting get
you've
to
been
that
talking for 10 minutes. Themselves. Go ahead, finish what you're saying.
I was just saying that people grouping themselves, man. Even we doing something, we talking, and the people down in South Florida, South Georgia, they doing something. The man in New York doing something. All over the world, there's people coming together. That's the point I was trying to make, man. Okay, you first is thought, word, action, bro.
Okay, I understand what you're saying, and I agree with you. So, what was the doom and gloom that I'm talking about? See, we got to think before we speak. You mentioned in the beginning, I was talking doom and gloom and doom and gloom. But then you turn around and say some of the things that we've been talking about on this program for eons. So what is the doom and gloom that I was talking about?
The point I'm trying to make is, man, okay, if we know what the problem is. Y'all, we had a solution, but that's all I'm saying, how y'all energy was saying, man. Like the oppressor doing this, the oppressor doing that. Most times, it's up to us to change it, to quit. We know what they're doing. Okay, and I love the way y'all do it when y'all bring people on there doing action, bro. So, I mean, I ain't mean to get all up under your skin of what I first said, because I know people get hung up on sound. And see, another thing what's going on in this country, in the world, people get hung up on what somebody say. See, just I had the same conversation with the judge about that booty to the pole thing, and people, everybody getting upset at that, but I told the judge, that's free speech, man. People got to have the right to what they say. Without somebody trying to assist them all the time. The most time is opinion. I bring the seats anyway. So, I mean, you can call me an FOSOB, and it bounced off me. So, what somebody say don't mean a boobity bobbity to me, Brian. I'm cussing. I know how you are. But it's all good, man. I don't take nothing personal what somebody say. I never do, because that's what the whole problem is. You get somebody on social media say something like everybody mad with Shaq and Barkley about what they say. Well, hey, that's freedom of speech. Okay, we start censoring each other.
You don't think it was nothing. You don't think it was nothing wrong with what those two idiots said. You don't think it was nothing.
I disagree with it, but hey, they got a right to say it.
Oh, I ain't saying they don't have a right to say it. I said you agree with or you don't disagree with what those two fools said on the television in reference to that young lady down there.
They just put them cats just everybody they put up there. They weaponized celebrities, man. Okay, you got to always remember that. Anybody on television, you know that. They weaponize celebrity. The real soldiers like us, that's good. We don't make it on TV. That's a good thing, man. So I just look at it. See, I look at everything as a joke. I'm fun. I'm having fun at night, man. I'm 62 years old. I'm enjoying everything I see because it's all a stage, and I dig behind and research the real stuff that's happening. Y'all check out a show called Hacking Your Mind, man. They come on PBS every Tuesday night. They show how they doing this, man.
Yeah, okay.
Through all this social media, your phone out. Bro, it's fun time to be alive, man. But we really come back on top. I say that always end with this. It's our time. We coming on top. Okay, you got to think about it. People grouping, man. That's what everybody grouping to do some stuff, man. You might not see all the groups together, but, hey, eventually we going to shine, bro. We going to run this, man. We can run this, because this damn republic about to fall. There ain't no democracy. It's coming to an end by biblical prophecy. But see, like I said before, this is bigger than all our pay grade, really, because we got angels. If you go by the book, we got angels that the Most High told about us, and they do it, and they fighting the angels that's up with us. One-third against two-thirds. But eventually, we going to win, man. We winning more every day, man. But I appreciate y'all giving me time to bump my guns, man. But it's a fun time to be alive with me. Because I always see we in the plus column, man. We going to take this W. We don't have no L. You can take this W, man. I love y'all, man. I let somebody else talk and keep on shining, keep on talking about it. We're going to be about it soon, man. I love y'all.
Talk to you.
Okay, man.
Richard, before we take a break, let me, because especially when before this decision came down with Breonna Taylor, you heard that acronym or what do they call it? Hashtag say your name, say her name, and that's been out there. you know, I guess somebody has monetized that. It's making money for people, because whenever you see some of these sporting events and it's on the court, guys is wearing it on their jerseys, is merchandise from it, it's money being generated. Do you agree? You agree?
Oh, yeah.
And it's basically talking about, you know, some of the women that's been murdered by police. But you, again, we're buying into these European narratives, because it's not about black women being murdered by police. It's about black people being murdered by police. Men, women, and little children being murdered by these police. It's not about black women, black men, everybody distinguishing. It's these Europeans that's always putting these distinguishing, just like this voting thing now. It's black women is doing this and the black men ain't doing it. Come on, we got to stop letting these people start these narratives and play us out of position. We got to stop this. Mm-hmm. That's how they always control black people, by destruction of black families, period. And pitting one against the other. It ain't about Breonna Taylor being necessarily murdered. Breonna Taylor, that young man, it was a miracle that he wasn't murdered in there with her. Mm-hmm. When those animals broke in the house, rammed the door down at 3 a.m. Those two idiots that DeCarlo was just talking about, O'Neal and Barkley, getting up there justifying it somehow putting the onus on her and the young man that fired that gun, that it was on them that she was murdered. What kind of foolish, idiotic stuff is that? I don't care whether you come in a house, whether you're in a suburban community, a rich white community, or a poor black community. If somebody rams your door, Richard, at 3 a.m, and you in your bed sleep with your wife or your girlfriend, and you got a licensed gun, or an unlicensed, you going to use it. What are you going to say? Who is it? That's how you going to, who is it? I mean, what kind of foolish talk is those two idiots talking about on this television? And they're there for that purpose. That's why you see people like that on the television. They're there for that purpose, to make dumbass statements in reference to your people. They get financially rewarded from that. If they wasn't financially rewarded, they wouldn't do it. That it was her fault. Then people talk all kind of foolishness about it. Listen, if that, you know, that young man that tried to protect his lady and fired that gun, if he had an unlicensed gun or drug deal or anything else, they would have dragged his name through the mud, just like they tried to drag her through the mud. The man had a licensed gun that fired back at those fools. And it was only right that he took one of them out. They rammed their door at the wrong apartment, no, nonetheless. The wrong house. They rammed their door at 3 a.m. According to those fools, he was wrong. He caused that. He was wrong. Because he fired at the police.
And they narrow this thing down. Because, you know, as I reflect on it, it may sound negative. They narrow it down and get these two guys to respond, because it's the social condition, because they placed her in a social economic condition that made her a victim, made us a victim, because it's supposed to be a drug culture. Even if it's a mistake, the police was doing the right thing.
Yeah, but she wasn't involved in drugs, and neither was the boyfriend.
That's the point. You know, that the environment that she was supposedly being in, and the people that she may have any association with, was supposed to be of this culture. And a culture that's created because of the disinvestment in this society, in the decisions not to be able to invest in a generation, two generations. And yes, that may sound negative, but that's a fact. And then a whole culture. I mean, even going back to that pole dance, that's a culture that's being exacerbated because money and people are engaged. They wasn't showing no pole dances in no white club.
I know it. I know.
They wasn't showing, when they put these, you know, TV or whatever it is now, cable shows on, you know, Power and all that, and all of it is centered. And you had spoke about earlier about, you know, the Capone era. Well, even then, those were white clubs of gangsters who had money from harming their community and eventually harming, and the only reason why they couldn't harm our communities because our gangsters wouldn't go for it in our communities because of segregation. Using Bumpy Johnson and whatever, and you know, people in their own areas can be able to speak to, you know, they couldn't just infiltrate that because those communities was isolated and they, as you said, created something to put their next generation and the next generation off the street. And also brought them into the government and being able to assist them militarily, their children being able to become lawyers, corporate lawyers, be able to create corporations where Black people could not create the same kind of economic activity because by law and by custom was banned from doing it. Not that we didn't have the ingenuity, but by law and by custom, and then by design, well, we have a thriving community. We're gonna run a highway through it to disrupt it. That wasn't Black people that made those kind of decisions. And those kind of decisions created a challenge for a generation afterwards to have unemployment figures that go into 50% that's been for each generation of young people. And we're talking about, we could see in our life, in my lifetime, from the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, unemployment amongst young people have been in the double digit for whatever. That means generate and then lock them up.
Yeah, it's close to 40 and 50% in a lot of areas. Yeah, off the charts.
And then, and so they're making a lifestyle, and then the police, you know, are going to make, and the judges and the propaganda machine are going to make off of perception. And our fear, even in our mistake, yes, there will be collateral damage. And then we get Negroes in these mediums that they give them, as Brother West said, yeah, they give them the platform to say, as you say, stupid stuff. Like, it's there, the victims be wrong. Not that the social condition created the environment, because they would not have been running, you don't even hear about methadone camps being ran into and people being killed. The ones that's creating the fentanyl and all them kind of drugs. Mm-hmm. They got industries, right? Saying they all drugged out, but do you hear the police? You hear in national media any discussion about them raiding and missing and hitting the wrong person? Come on.
Wow. Yeah, well, we'll continue the conversation. You can get in. Oh, wait a minute. I wanted to read this thing before I went to break, because it was in reference to that. Because I mentioned before, when you look at things, then look at this television, you see it all over the television. These sporting events now that came back on, whether the football, basketball games, the guys, it's on the courts, it's in the end zone, it's on guys' jerseys. So that's a merchandise. They're selling it. Now, let me read this, because I saw a similar thread when you talk about Black Lives Matter or the, Association for Black Lives, whatever. Black Lives Matter, there's another one out there. Movement for Black Lives, and where all the money is being generated and coming from. Now, It says, say her name was, it came up with in 2016 in honor of Sandra Bland. Now, this is from their website. To continue to call attention to violence against black women in the U.S., the African-American Policy Forum, the Center for Intersectionality and Social Policy Studies came up with this, say her name. Say her name was intended to serve as a resource for the media, organizers, researchers, policymakers, and other stakeholders to better understand and address black women's experience of profiling and policing. In addition to stories of black women who have been killed by police and who have experienced gender-specific forms of police violence, Say Her Name provides some analytical framework for understanding their experiences and broadens the dominant conception of who experienced state violence and what it looks like. Now, Richard, listen, just like I said before, this is not black women facing this. It's not black men facing this. This is black people, black families, men, women, and children dealing with this. Mm-hmm. But it's a reason why the colonizers, because it's focused on the internal colony, it's the reason why the colonizers come up with these narratives to separate and destroy. Now, let me read the final portion of about this synopsis of Say Your Name. It says, black women are too often unseen in the national conversation about racial profiling, police brutality, and lethal force, says Richie, the co-author of this report. This report begins to shine a light on ways that black women are policed similar to other members of our communities, whether it's police killings, stop and frisk, broken window policy, broken window policing, or war on drugs. It also pushes open the frame to include other forms and contexts of police violence, such as sexual assault by police, police abuse of pregnant women, profiling and abusive treatment of lesbians, bisexuals, transgender, and gender non-conforming black women. I don't know what that one is, Richard. Maybe you can help me. And police brutality in the context of the responses to violence, which brings black women's experiences to even a higher focus. Now, Richard, how is this stuff that happens to black people, the black women's experience, is at a higher focus? Mm. I mean, who's making these determinations? But you can see who's making it, because you could. What is this stuff here? The treatment of bisexual, transgender, and gender non-conforming black women. Well, what's all this that's involved here? It's the same thing involved in the other thing. Mm-hmm. We can see who's setting up these narratives. Some of our people are buying into it because they don't know. If they do a little research, they might say, "Hey, what's going on here?" We can come up with our own advocacy groups. Huh? I'm sorry.
It's not even for us. It's for the generations coming up. Exactly. That's all they'll hear.
Exactly. Exactly. So we got work to do. The brother was saying it's a good time to be alive. Okay, I'll go along with that. But we got some work to do. And it includes more than just sitting by meditating and hoping things change. We're going to take a brief break, and when we come back, callers can get involved in the conversation here by dialing 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. We got some callers on the board, and we'll be right back.
Listening to Time for an Awakening, Time for an Awakening, with host Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
All Insurance Incorporated, an African-American owned and operated insurance agency in business for over 20 years, located at 231 Southeastern Road in Glenside, PA, with other offices in Germantown and West Philadelphia. Call now for commercial insurance quotes, homeowners insurance quotes, automobile insurance quotes, notary and tax services, representing over 15 major A-rated insurance companies, offering a discount on all notary services if when you call in for a free quote. Call this number, 215-885-2444. That number is 215-885-2444. 215-885-2444. All Insurance Incorporated.
RG Electrical Inspections provides electrical inspections for realtors, licensed electricians, and homeowners. Licensed and insured underwriter, serving Philadelphia and surrounding area. Call today, 484-268-9837.
Escape the digital plantation. IBBToMe.com, IBBToMe.TV, IBBToMeTV.com, IBBToMe.store are here for you. You are ready to be free of non-African social media. Don't run from danger, run to safety. IBBToMe.com is here for you. You are ready to be free of digital plantations to control your own products. IBBToMe.store is here for you. ABIBITUMI, Black Power, ABIBITUMI. The only word you need to know to join your global Commits You Black family, to join your interconnected Commits You Black communities. Escape the digital plantation now. IBBToMe.com, IBBToMe.TV, IBBToMeTV.com, IBBToMe.store. We are here for you. Escape the digital plantation.
Know that this problem needs to be solved, and we can't keep relegating it to generation after generation because a few of us got a little money, a few of us got positions, a few of us have wealth, while the masses of our people are going steadily down. No one man can rise above the condition of his people. The brother said responsibility. Is it that we should let them take responsibility to do for us, or should we pool the knowledge that's at the table, the power that's in our community, the wealth that's in our community to change the harsh reality of black life in America? We have to do the job of fulfilling the black agenda. Thank you.
We have a message to the black man, because the black man today is a man who has been made now almost into a laughing stock. Nobody takes the black man serious. We are just used to be somebody's tool. We are the sportsmen, we're the singers and the dancers, and we're also labeled as the pimps and the criminals and the drug dealers and the killers and the vagabonds of society. We're the bogeymen of British society and other Western systems. And we want to dispel that lie and destroy those myths and put the black man back on the map where we belong. Who is the black man? The black man is the original man. If it wasn't for the black man, no other men could be on this planet. We are the fathers of humanity. We gave birth to all of you.
We are the watchmen on the wall. You are too. You watch with a political eye. We watch from a spiritual eye. But we're supposed to be the watchmen for the people that vote for us. The sad thing is the people vote, but they don't give you the money to run your campaigns. So here come big business.
How are you? How are you, Judge? How are you, Alderman? How are you, Congressman? How are you? How are you, Reverend? Well, what can I do for you today, Reverend?
You can't do nothing for me. See, that's what we got to be careful of. We got to be careful of who we bow down to. You see, when you get in your congregation and you talk this Jesus, this powerful Jesus that's sitting at the right hand of the Father with all power in his hand, then you go with your hat in your hand to the governor, to the mayor, to the president, begging for some crumbs. You have sold your God cheap. And you make the white man downtown disrespect all of us.
Time for an Awakening is a proud part of the Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent black digital and podcasting platform.
Welcome back to Time for an Awakening. It's 8:22 in the city of Philadelphia and we're in open forum this evening, on this Sunday evening. And you can get involved in the conversation by dialing 215-490-9832. Again, that's 215-490-9832. Let's go to a couple calls here, Richard. Mm-hmm. Let's go to 267. 267?
Hey, good afternoon. I mean, good evening, Elliot, and good evening, Richard.
No worries,
how's everybody tonight? I'm fine, man. Yeah, I was just listening to the conversation, and I'm going to tell you, I was listening to the master researcher earlier, and I'm going to tell you something. He was correct on something he said on another program. He said, if we don't destroy that enemy within us, how can we even focus on an external enemy? And the thing about it, that is so true, because if we're destroying ourselves from within, we don't stand a chance of doing anything against anybody that's doing anything to us externally. I was listening to a program yesterday. I'm not even going to say the host's name, but it made me sick to my stomach. I used to listen to this guy, because some of the stuff, you could take it or leave it. It was sort of like Dick Gregory, if you ask me, because some of the stuff Dick Gregory said was so far off the wall, but you just listen to it anyway, because what was Dick Gregory? He was a comedian. But the thing about it, this guy, man, let me tell you something. The white media has a point when they get a hold, when they know that the system is wrong. What they do, they tend to dig up information on the people, parents, ex-girlfriends, associates, an all-natural smear campaign. We've seen it with Trayvon Martin. We've seen it with Amal Aubrey, the brother from Georgia. we see these things time and time again. And the thing about it, you know, everybody's got somebody around them that ain't really, I mean, you might have a brother, sister, cousin. Somebody around you is not doing things the right way, and that includes people in the white community.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But they always do this to smear us. And this host just got all emotional, used the N-word on his program. I guess that's okay if you're black to use that word on there. And also, like, you know, just smeared Breonna Taylor, smeared the brother that shot in self-defense because he ain't know who was coming in there. They found one guy that said that, you know, you're going to dig up somebody that's going to lie, give them a little money. Because they, you know, the justice system down there already have been found. They were already guilty of trying to co-opt ex-boyfriend of hers to let him go along with a story. But this certain host said he had court records to show everything. Now, if the family and their lawyer are fighting to get these court records, how did you get them? They might as well call you. You know what I mean? I mean, he has the court records and all this stuff, and you're going to see, like, this is just a psyops. And said the same thing about George Floyd. Said the same thing about, I mean, you know, some of our people do us a disservice being on the radio, brother. You know what I mean? So we got some enemies. We have, you know, as far as Joe Biden's plan, he has the, you know, I see a lot of people attacking Trump's platinum plan. And yeah, it's going to be a lie. And yeah, it's to get him black votes. But man, what's even worse is you got the Democratic Party that gets 80 to 90% of our votes. They don't lie to us about anything. They just say we got to get Trump out. They ain't promise us nothing. Just like you just read, I just was going down Biden's list of his priorities of what he's going to do and what's his agenda. Oh, they're going to create housing and health care for illegal immigration. And so, you know, wait a minute. You know, wait a minute. You don't see what's happening to us? He's going to work with the LGBTQ to give them more rights. Wait a minute. You don't see what's happening to us? So where's our platinum plan out of the Democratic Party? They don't even lie to us, brother. You know what I mean? So I'm trying. And then, you know, I try to have this a conversation with a friend of mine that came over to the house today. And, oh, we just got to get Trump. I said, so when you get him out, what's going to happen? You know what I mean? I had to ask him. Well, it don't matter what happens. We just got to get him out. I said, well, where do you get this information from? I just don't like him. Well, so you like Biden? You know, and then I let him know about Biden speaking at Strom Thurmond's funeral like he was Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of people don't, they just dismiss that, you know. It just amazes me, man. And then also this host praised the black DA. He praised the black DA down there in Kentucky, said he did a good job. So he felt just like Barkley and Shaq. And I said, like, you know what? Is this the Stockholm Syndrome or what, man? You know, like I said, I'm not going to say this guy's name. I just think, you know, yesterday I just got to pull the plug on it. Sometimes I used to think it was entertaining, but when I hear garbage like that, and I even asked him, you know, I had to ask him, how are you going to, like, take the victim and trash a dead victim that was paying her bills, living in her house, and, you know, was an EMT, you know, a young girl. And you're going to trash this young lady for making bad decisions because she dated a drug dealer 3-4 years ago. I mean, like, if that's all it takes for police to break in your house and shoot you dead because of somebody you had a relationship 3-5 years ago, you know, damn, all of us will probably be gone by then. Some of your customers, Elliot, they dig up some of your customers and say, wait a minute, this guy is this, that, and the other. Let's go in Elliot's house because, you know, we got to end this thing because that guy was his customer. 3 years ago. You know, I mean, some of the stuff that we say is so damn retarded, it gets on my damn nerves, man. And, you know, and I heard the first caller, man. Some of that data and all that stuff, man, that's, you know, sometimes, you know, the computer gets a virus and it looks like real information and then it just messes up your software. You know, sometimes you got to reboot yourself, brother. Reboot yourself. You know, don't come on with foolishness, something you done heard or something like that. Starting to sound like an idiot. So, you know, some of this stuff is just pissing me off, man, with some of these people, man. And I just had to call in because, you know, number one, neither one of these parties mean us any good. Like you said, Elliot, the thing they want us to do is just go along with the program and act like nothing's wrong.
Nothing wrong.
That's what they want us to do, just go along with the program and act like nothing's wrong. When we all know there's injustice all over this country. And you know, so I just had to call in and just say, like, I'm tired of these foolish damn people getting on the radio showing how fucking stupid they are. You know what I mean? I get tired of it, man. You know, but I know you're a host and you got to listen to it. So that's, I can't. And another thing is, when I hear, and you know, this is another thing. No, I ain't even going to go there. I'll just keep that to myself. You know what I mean? Because, you know, it's just too much foolishness going on right now. A lot of stupid, vain talk and not enough action. And that's the thing that we have to focus on is action. If you believe in separation and if you believe that, you know, it's time for us to go to the motherland and set up shop, set the example. Let me know your experience. Then maybe I'll follow. But if you're just telling me something, you're like a preacher preaching to me, telling me how great heaven is, and you're still here on earth with me. So, you know, I'm just tired of the vain foolishness. You know, maybe separation is the key. It's going to have to be. But you do it first, and then you come and talk to me and tell me how great it is, and then maybe I'll follow. But other than that, you're just like a preacher telling me how great heaven is. So we got to stop all that stupid crap, man. So I just had to call in and just vent a little bit. You know, they're both parties are nothing but wings of the same stinking bird. I see people getting all emotional over one wing, and if you don't want that wing and you don't want to celebrate that wing with them, regardless of how this wing been putting stop and frisk on us, allowing cops to shoot us dead in the street, gentrifying our neighborhood, regardless of that wing, we just hate that other wing because we've been programmed to hate that other wing. So, you know, I'm done, man. I just had to call in and just vent. So I'll be talking to you.
Thank you for your call. Talk to you later. All right. Let's go to Newport News. Newport News?
Good evening, brother. What are y'all up to?
How are you, sir?
The last caller used to be one of my heroes, but I'm going to have to do some clap back because I'm suspicious.
Wait a minute. Your voice is a little muffled. Can you get closer or whatever? It's a little muffled.
I tell you what. Come back to me when you take off my headphones. That might be better.
Ooh, okay. All right. Let's before we go to the next call, Richard. I wanted to play this clip there. This political commercial from the barbershop, and comments that was made by the folks in the commercial, and then Roland Martin goes to his guests, and they're in the vein of what we were talking about before, though, that political operatives or that certain class of black folks that are a mouthpiece for these political parties, whether they be Democrat or Republican. Look at their comments. Listen to their comments in reference to the ad, and listen to the guy's ad that's in the commercial and what they're saying. I think that's key to me. If I can get this up here, I'll play both of them.
message. But they've got the experience.
I'm still in shock 3 or 4 years later that we're in this position now. Our democracy is at a pivotal point.
From the top, we don't trust our government. We see the trouble we're in economically. We've got 170,000 Americans dead. And yet this president will do anything he can to make it seem like things are better than they are.
I did more for the black community than anybody, with the possible exception of Abraham Lincoln.
It's our responsibility. If we don't lead that effort to make things better, we can't ask other people to do it. There is no good reason not to vote.
Right. We need to have individuals that are in office like Joe Biden and Kamala Harris.
They are our best shot to take us forward.
And that's what makes me incredibly hopeful. But we really do have to work for this thing.
To the thousands who did not vote, we need you to show up for our future and for our country.
You cannot sit on the sidelines. You got to get in the game.
Oh, man.
Now, Richard, Biden and Harris is our best shot as a people to move forward. We have to do this for our country and our democracy. Some of these political statements, if our people just sit back, take a breath, and listen to what's being said. If you do any cursory research, you can agree with some of these statements. They're our best shot as a people to move forward. So we have to vote for them because this man has failed our country. Let me play some of the comments made by the two people that was guest on Martin's show. They were Roland Martin's program. Listen to their comments in reference to what was stated, Richard.
Could the U.S. also compensate descendants of enslaved people? Support?
Wait a minute, that's the wrong one. Hold on here. I might have to move forward to something else here because I can't seem to. Yeah, here it is. Hold it. I'm sorry. Give me a minute. Here it is.
Let's go to our panel here. Mustafa, what do you make of those particular ads?
I think they're effective because they're talking about real world issues that people care about. And they also have been shot in locations where most folks spend, a considerable amount of time. It really resonated with me when the brother was saying that, he actually would trust his child's future in the hands of Joe Biden. So that says a lot because, brothers and sisters, love their children. And when for someone to say that they would actually trust an individual with that child's future, that says a lot.
Avis.
Now, hold it, Richard. Did you hear that? Now, that one, mm-hmm. I'd have to look back and see what college he teaches at. He's a doctor at the College of African American Studies. And he said the commercials were great. And one of the best things he heard was that this brother said that he would trust his children in the hands of Joe Biden. I mean, you heard him. You heard what he said. Okay, and let me go to he had a sister on there, and I'll play her comments.
Obviously, Joe Biden and Democrats are looking at numbers. There was a 9-point gap between black men and black women when Obama ran against Romney in 2012. That went to a 13-point gap in 2016 with Trump and Clinton. The White House, they actually believe they can get as much as 20% of black men voting for them in this election. Democrats have spent a lot of time talking about the power of black women voters. I've heard black men who said that they felt that they were being ignored by the Democratic Party. And Trump, you saw all the black men who were speaking at the Republican National Convention. That's who they're trying to reach.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That is, I would argue, the swing vote within the black vote. And what impressed me most was that this just wasn't one token ad. You ran several ads back to back. And all specifically targeting this very important constituency. The one that I personally liked the best was the one that laid out a piece of Biden's criminal justice plan. You know, one of the things that frustrates me the most from hearing a lot of rappers talk about We need a certain agenda. And a lot of the things on the certain agenda that they are threatening to hold the black vote hostage for are actually already on the Biden agenda. It really shows you the degree to which most people don't even know what's on the Biden's agenda, particularly as it relates to the black community. And so I was very happy to see that they are beginning to specifically articulate some of their policy choices, because that is what people need to hear. I think you can definitely encourage and talk to people about the importance of voting all day long, and you certainly should. But people are very practical and want to hear the bread and butter issues and how their lives will be changed once you get in office. And you can only start to really unravel that with a great deal of depth when you speak specifically about how your policy stances contrast with what's happening right now. And I think they were going definitely in the right direction with that particular ad. And I hope they produce others that address other issues that are particularly important to the black community as well.
Yeah. So you caught that, right, Richard? The thing is this, Richard, whatever they're saying to black folks, whether it's the platinum plan by Trump or whether it's this other plan for the black community, which I don't know what it is, by Biden. Just say I buy into that. Just say I'm just buy into that. I swallowed hook, line, and sinker. How are you supposed to get this plan through Congress or the Senate? And if you look at these major cities that are predominantly black, they control the politics in a lot of these cities, Richard, because they voted for Democratic mayors in a lot of these cities.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the situation in a lot of these major cities. Well, let's pull Philadelphia, where we live at. A major city, fifth largest in the country, fifth or sixth largest. Unemployment off the hook. The poverty rate, the highest of any major city, over a million. Business opportunities in the toilet. You don't control the economy of your communities, and gentrification is off the hook. This is under Democratic leadership, not Republican. Although it would be the same thing, or maybe worse under Republican. So what is this plan that he got? He's coming up with something different than his brethren. And plus, he's been in office himself over 40 years or whatever. So what has he been doing? We already see what his running mate has been doing, because she was the attorney general in California. And some of those black men that they say ain't been voting been locked up. And then when they get out, they don't have no voting rights. And here they go, here he go, reading some stats about black men and as opposed to black women, feeding into this foolish narrative to divide and conquer black families. Black people are suffering, period. Black men and black women, which causes black children to suffer. The black family is suffering. Bottom line. And we got to do something about it. And it don't include Biden or Trump being some type of a panacea or messiah for black people. Let's go. Let's pull, go to call. Let's go to 602. 602?
Yes, good evening, brothers. Good evening, Brother Marcus. So, I just hear my brother, Ralph. I don't know what they talk like. The people who are advocating back to Africa should go and demonstrate about back to Africa. But when we were coming, when those people brought us to Africa here, did we have an advance guard? Did they say, oh, you know, you're going to America to a better place? You know, everybody said that to us. They just dropped us from there and brought us here, right? Ain't that how it happened? Kidnap you and brought you here, and we survived because we're still here talking on the radio. We're here talking on the internet. We ain't dead, but some of us want to choose our battlefield. You see, you have to choose your battlefield, you know, because this is war. So we choose Africa as our battlefield. Now, it doesn't have to be a problem, because I noticed now a lot of people saying,
Oh, they run into Africa. Running to Africa ain't going to solve the problem. But it doesn't have to be like that, because we can still do business with each other. It doesn't have to be only like I'm leaving. We do business to each other. Look, I'm going to want stuff over in Africa from here, right? You be my eyes and ears here, and we trade. It doesn't have to be an issue. We do business among, like every other ethnic group does. That's what the Chinese do. That's what the East Indian do. See, but we just can't seem to get it together. You know? Everybody took Garvey's model, turned the key, and went to freedom. Bouncy tongue used to come and listen to what Garvey said. I said, you know why that makes sense? Asia for the Asiatic. Took it, ran with it. Look at the condition of China now. China has moved ahead. India has moved ahead. Everybody move ahead except we here trying to figure it out. Trying to figure out which direction to go. Please, let us be honest. We're not going to solve our problem here. We have tried every striking thing. And what these people come and do, they destroy it. They're not going to make the slave come and run the show. They're not going to do it. They didn't go through all that problem to come and say, all right, now I'm going to turn it over to you. I'm going to share it with you. Hell no, nobody do that. We have to join the mass majority of our people on the continent and save that place. That is where we were great in the past. That is where we're going to be great in the future. Use America as a stepping stone. Use America's capital. Take the technology here and go build our empire. But you're not going to do it here unless you have a strong Africa that can respond for you. Like China. How they like lynching Chinese people? Because they got 1.2 million Chinese over there marching. They got, you see that army, they got their tum. They're ready. Until we get to that point, we're going to be catching hell. That's where we have to build. And now we're hearing China military moving into Africa now. That's the next move. China is planning to put 4 more military bases in Africa. And we're here spinning around when somebody getting ready to take the homeland. If they take Africa, it's done. It's finished. But if we lose Africa, we could just chalk it up. So we're catching hell here in America. We're catching hell in other places of the world. And we're here trying to figure out which direction to go. Look. Yeah, I said one time, I said, this white man here, he said, he's a dying tiger, but he's trying to take as much people with him on his journey to death. We're living it now. We're living it now. He's trying to take as many with him on his journey. And unfortunately, a lot of our people are going to go down the drain with him. Because you see, when it gets a little bit later, it's going to get worse. They're not telling you what's coming. They're not telling us food shortage is coming. It's already hit places like Australia. They're having food problems. China having food problems. See? They're buying up every damn thing from America. What happened when there ain't no more food on the shelf? What are people going to do? What happened in these big cities? Ain't no farms in there. I don't see nobody farming. What are we going to do? Look, we better get serious, good brothers, because the worst is yet to come. Anyway, that's all I got to say. Thank you. May I still be here listening.
Thank you for your contribution, sir. Let's go back to Newport News.
Good evening, brothers. Can you hear me better now?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I was getting ready to talk about the brother that spoke before me. I can't remember his name, but I'm going to tell you, he kind of shocked me because he don't like to call names, because I thought he was reading my mind, because I listened to Larry Elder do exactly what he just said about excoriating Breonna Taylor in her death. So I know that's one of the black people that has got this thing whole twisted, talking about the evidence that he knows. Here's a part of the evidence that we do know. We do know from some investigating reporting with Politico and a couple of other people that the reason the no-knock warrant was given had to do with doing what? Gentrification.
Mm-hmm.
Louisville trying to buy up the block. I'm not going to give out all the names of the people that I work with, but quite a few ADOS people are in Louisville. We saw this thing brewing, and we were complaining that it took 6 months for it to make it to the light. Part of that reasoning was because they were using the police to remove the rest of the people off of that block, and they were trying to tie her in to the ex-boyfriend that supposedly had used some of the vacant homes to do illegal activity. So then you know it's bad policing because they didn't even understand that the boyfriend that was there was an old boyfriend. But let's get to something else. It brought up Trump. If you actually read, details matter. The brother you talked about, Jerron Smith, that pushed this platinum plan, read the plan. I put it in your chat. It basically tells you what they want to do is extend loans to black people. Now, I'm going to say this to you. If you gave out $2 trillion to companies in the CARES Act with provisions that the loan doesn't have to be paid back if they do certain things, you and I both know they can do the same thing for black people. Mm-hmm. Give you grants that, I mean, give you, start it out, quote, as a loan, but if you keep the property X amount of years or whatever, the loan is forgiven.
It's forgiven.
Mm-hmm. That is the only compensation that any of these parties should be offering anybody black in this country. So when people talk about who you're going to get, Biden or this, the whole point is debt is not freedom. And this country didn't even have personal debt until about 1979. Before 1979, the only people that carried credit cards was through businesses.
Mm-hmm.
It was only when this empire was failing that it extended credit to people like us to do what? Stop a revolt from white and black people, just like Nat Turner days. So when people tell me about what you're going to do, what's going to happen is we ain't going to get nothing until the white people keep on getting their toes pinched. Now, I say that, I hope I'm alive to see it, but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to touch on another thing because I don't want to eat up all the time. I heard another academic, Greg Carr out of Howard University, talk about how great it was to see white folks in the street for Black Lives Matter. But you can go to Karen Hunter's show, or some people don't like to give names. I give names. If you don't want me to say them, I will honor your request. But on those programs, he kept talking how great it was to see white people out here. But everybody here knows why white people are out here. Because if you do the interview, if you listen to the interview with Jerry Ball, talked to Patrice Cullors back in 2015, it's led by three queer and gay women. White folks understand that. We are the black people that keep on talking about black folks got moved out of it. Yeah. Two queer black women joined up with another gay woman or lesbian woman and took over a movement that was supposed to be about black male lives. But here's another interesting thing. Even the program with the commercials you were talking about, guess where that came from? Originally from the Brothers Keeper barbershop tour. But from where? The Obama administration. They're using the very same techniques of telling us that little neighborhood chat is supposed to be good. But the interesting thing is they claim black females are the base of the party. Black men were the problem. So Roland Martin, that's supposed to be independent media, brings women on to tell you, yeah, black men are the problem. How are black men are the problem if you've got 750,000 of us in jail or with felonies that can't vote? So how are we the problem when the system is actually doing what? Attacking and destroying black families.
Exactly.
That's what you were saying. These academics that want to tell you numbers. I call Roland Martin, he blocked me on Twitter for this, a human iPod. I don't care. And you don't understand how those facts are relative to my life. I'm going to stop there.
Now, what did you call him?
A human iPod. Well, that what I do it based on Ella Fitzgerald's thing, you know, in our day, is it live or is it Memorex? I don't give a damn that you can tell me historical facts and then I understand how they apply to my life. I don't need loans from Trump. Now, here's another interesting thing. They wrote the headline and told you Trump wants to give $500 billion. Actually, what Trump said he wants to do, he wants to give $40 billion in government funds to leverage as much as 10 times that amount through what? Watch these key phrase, private sector. So you want to give me seed money so that the same rich white people that hold the debt, did predatory lending for 30 years, can hold the debt. And I do what? Sit around like some of these people that I know in my small community, black preachers, bought up a little land around their churches, thought they could do something. Held on to it for 10, 12 years. All of a sudden, the local municipality changes the rulings and the white folks come in and put a big old complex up. And they come back, oh, I've been screwed. No, nigga, you was a placeholder. Mm-hmm. They let you hold on to that mess till they wanted to use it. You were never a power broker. You were a placeholder.
Thank you. Yeah, but you know, Otis, I agree with your assessment in relationship to the leveraging. Although, and I guess I'm looking for y'all response to this. It's all when I see the money where it's going, and that's where I started. Is going to develop a new class of young, whether they be Republican or Democrat, a new class of young blacks who are in a line with this. They will take that. They will take that leverage money, that debt, thinking they're going to do something and give up 20 years of their life. You see, and you see what they're doing with the HBCUs, right? They're targeting that group who will come out because people on the street ain't gonna be able to do that. They ain't gonna get government contracts. They're not gonna be able to use any of that.
Can I throw this in, Brother Rich, because you hit something else. That HBCU thing. Actually, read the detail. What they said is they're gonna target 6 to 10 HBCUs. Right. Back again, I'm just an old Negro from Yorktown, Virginia, but let me ask you something. If you got 107 members in your family, and the money comes along and you got to decide which 6 or 10 to get them. Is that how you take care of family? We got to stop being so pedestrian. Details matter. If I'm not in for the collective, your deal is bullshit.
Yep. And that's why I said it's just to satisfy a certain group.
I'm agreeing with you. And the bad part about it, the group that is benefiting don't even want to be honest with you about basic English.
I know.
You can't tell me because Howard or Mahari might get a grant to do some nefarious work for the government that all 107 HBCUs, not even worried about the ones that are now predominantly white, we're still going to throw them in. We'll do like they do. If less than 10% of y'all is white, we're going to throw y'all in and keep you as the family that y'all don't want to acknowledge. You know, I got a little game about me too. But my point is, you can't pull out 6 outliers and tell me you taking care of HBCUs. Mm-hmm. I watched Roland Martin do it, talk about how good it was, and 5 or 6 local people that were in the D.C. area. Trump is doing something for HBCU. Stop lying. At least tell the truth. Only 6 to 10. Don't lead me to believe he's doing something for the collective. That's a lie.
Creating another stratification.
Thank you for your contribution, Brother Otis. Let's go to 678 here. 6678 in Atlanta. You're on 678. Atlanta. Let's put them back on hold. Maybe they stepped away. Let's go to 215. 215.
Hey, Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. How y'all brothers doing tonight?
All right.
Praise be to Allah. Brother Elliot, I was thinking about you just now, Brother Elliot. I have to be a little facetious tonight, Elliot. I was feeling bad. I know Brother Elliot a little depressed. because your favorite white quarterback in Philadelphia had another stinko game, Elliot. Just want to throw that
He ain't my favorite white quarterback. Or favorite quarterback, period. I don't know.
I had to get the one in there, Elliot. But anyway, on a more serious note, and I mean this too, on a more serious note, though, Brother Otis, when you mentioned that Negro Larry Elder, you know, Larry Elder is out of respect for your show, he's a house, N-I-G-G-E-R, if you get my drift. He's a disgrace in this life and a disgrace in the next life, Larry. Oh, that's a disgraceful Negro. But, you know, when Brother Otis was making about...
Wait a minute. Before you continue, hold your thought. Yeah. You know Larry Elder's involved in that group that put on that Black News Network.
Oh, yeah, but J.C. Watt and them?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's a joke anyway.
So you know what kind of news that is, but go ahead.
And from what I heard, some white Jew is at the top of the chain anyway.
Well, that's probably, I don't know, but it's probably true.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So you know how that's going to be. But anyway, Brother Elliot, when Brother Otis mentioned about Gregory Professor Carr, I know Brother Jay going to get him with Brother Jay calling. When Brother Otis said that Carr was talking about something, that he was glad to see the white folks out there, the Black Lives Matter, boy, Jay is going to get him. He's going to get Professor Carr. You know, again, you know, our people, we just, like I said, we grasp the straws, Elliot. I mean, you know, we as a people, man, we love, like you said, we love when white people make these bogus apologies that they don't mean. You know, we take it to heart. We believe it. We happy. We, you know, we had like minor and major orgasms, you know, because of it. We just happy with that foolishness, man. We happy to see white folks out there, so-called, you know, marching because of Breonna Taylor's death. And I'm not saying that some individual whites may not be sincere, but let's be honest. We know the vast majority of them not doing it because they care about Breonna Taylor's life or George Floyd's life or Trayvon Martin's life or whomever the latest or past Black victim of white violence is. We know the sincerity is not, you know, what it's cracked up to be, you know. But I'll tell you, there's so much going on, man. I just wanted to say this to Brother Ralph. And Brother Ralph mentioned about, I think he mentioned something about somebody had one of the hosts or somebody said, I forgot Brother Ralph worried because I wanted to make the correction that, I know what it was. Yeah, that Negro that they said that he heard the no knock warrant. Well, check this out, Ellen Richie. I don't know if y'all was aware of this, but the individual who they finally got to say that he heard they asked the first two times the Negro said he didn't hear the police say they were the police. Then after the third time, I guess as Brother Ralph and others have said on the show tonight, they must have gave that Negro some money and told him to change his story. So after the third time, he says that he did hear something. Yeah, right. Okay. His memory became, I guess, better. I guess they greased his pockets a little bit, you know. It's just these people, man. They to show you how this man used the same tactics right here in Philadelphia, Elliot. And this is documented. This is all documented. And Mumia Abu-Jamal's case, two quick examples of how these Europeans do stuff. Gary Bell, who was the racist cop that got killed, Daniel Faulkner, who was killed by Arnold Beverly, and they blamed him on Mia. Well, long story short, his partner, Gary Bell, Faulkner's partner, when they asked him, did Mumia make any statements? He says the Negro suspect made no statements. He clearly said this to the investigators, internal affairs, everybody. He said the Negro suspect made no comments. And after the FOP and all the good old boys got to Gary Bell, he said he changed the story and said Mumia said I shot the MF and I hope he dies. You know what I'm saying? He remembered that. You know what I'm saying, Elliot? You know. It just never ceases to amaze me with these people. They can come up with their convoluted stories, man. You know what I mean? So all of a sudden, Gary Bell remembered Mumia saying it, but initially he said Mumia didn't say anything at all. After Mumia was beat to death, had his head rammed into the pole by them white cops and stuff who came on the scene and stuff like that. And Veronica Jones, who happened to be a sister that was in the life of prostitution, and thank God Allah that she has got her life together now. She was caught up in the drug and prostitution world. Well, she said that she saw another individual shoot Daniel Faulkner and stuff. That was the initial story, but when the FOP got to her, they told her that if she don't change her story and say that she saw Mumia shoot Faulkner, they was going to threaten her life.
So she, you know, she of course, by fear for her life, she changed the story. But you know, years later, she came out courageously and said that she was coerced into doing it. And we know, Elliot, it's black people. We know this stuff goes on in this country with black people. You know what I mean? So, you know, this man just used all kinds of slow life tactics and slimy stuff to, you know, to do things to our people. So we know what we're dealing with, what we're up against, you know. So it's wild, man. I mean, it's just to show you what we're dealing with.
And, well, know, I mean, you know, that was a good example that you gave. But let me go a little bit further in that example.
Sure,
because it came out after, you know, sometimes years after, that mm-hmm. it was clear that witnesses was coerced, that the judge was racist, that everything, the trial was a sham. It was clear of that.
Mm-hmm.
But soon as the pressure was on a black DA at the time to try to give Mumia a new trial, I think a former black mayor made statements that he thought that Mumia didn't get a fair trial. And when they jumped all over them, both of them changed their statements and apologized for even asserting that Mumia's trial wasn't up to speed.
Exactly.
I just wanted to make a comment on that.
Well, I'm glad you did, LA, because you lead me to my next point that's related. The judge, the presiding judge in Mumia's case was this racist judge, Judge Sable, Albert Sable, who's now deceased and made a rotten bastard. So, you know, he was quoted and witnessed. Let me know, Elliot, paint this scenario for yourself and Richard in the time for which I listen to it. Here's a white girl. She's the court stenographer, which means she grew up in the suburbs. She grew up in a white environment. She's not going to put herself on the line for no black man, period, unless she just got a note. Unless she's one of them type of white folks that just deal with just the principle of right and wrong. She says, quote, and I quote Brother Elliot and Brother Richard, she said that she heard Judge Sabo say to the white prosecutors that was prosecuting Mumia, he said, I'm going to help y'all find the nigger. Remember that, Elliot?
Yeah.
This is what this white, she was a white girl, she's a court stenographer, she said she heard Judge Sabo say that. Now, why would this white girl risk her neck when she grew up in a lily white neighborhood and a white girl of privilege? Why would she put her neck out there knowing she's going to catch hell from the FOP and everybody else for saying that this judge, this racist judge, Albert Sable, said this about Mumia, that he went to told the prosecutors with an earshot of her, I'm going to help y'all find the nigger. You know, so, you know, these people, man, I'm telling you, man, you're dealing with some demonic people, man. These people are just callous and racist and cruel and just... Man, I tell you, man. But anyway, you know, a few more comments and I get off. You know, when you mentioned about, like I said, Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal, what they did, what would you use, Elliot, Richard, when you talk about a man of what they were because of MCAR, like a man of, you know what I'm talking about? Hey, I can't think of it. I have trouble mouthing it, but you'll get my point in a second, Elliot and Richard. They killed this girl three or four more times. She's mad. She's been killed physically, and her mother, Brianna's mother, had to deal with that pain. But and you know Brianna's mother. She's a black woman. I'm sure she experienced things in her life. She knows pretty much about white race. She probably experienced down in that racist Louisville, Kentucky, which by the way is the home of Muhammad Ali. I'm sure she has dealt with racism, dealt with them bigots down there. But it's even more hurtful, Brother Elliot and Brother Richard, when she had to turn on the TV and her two prominent black athletes, former black athletes, you know, sit there and try to say these white devils was justified in ripping her daughter's body with bullets. I mean, that's even hurtful. It's, you know, and to her, the likes of a Larry Elder and all that crew. I mean, it's a sin and a shame upon the creator when a black man or black woman, whether it be Brianna's mother, Trayvon Martin's parents, they have to know your son was or daughter was unjustly killed, and then you have to hear Negroes that look just like you getting up there justifying it. You know what I mean? I mean, it's a disgrace, these Negroes, because the bottom line, Ellen Richard, you know and I know. If you just paint the scenario, let's make a Breonna Taylor, a Caucasian girl, and three black cops coming in that same scenario, no knock warrant, kick the door down, whether they say they was the police or not, that's not the point. If they would have came in there that same way and shot this white girl to death and her boyfriend fired in self-defense, the white boy would have been held as a hero for protecting his woman and his household. And the black cops, as you well know, Ellen Richard, would have went down. If anybody has any doubt about that, all one got to do is look up in Minnesota. Remember that case, Ellen? The black cop who happened to be Muslim from Somalia, he's serving 25 years in jail because he shot the white woman. It was a tragic accident. But if you look at just the merits of the case, he had more justification to shoot her than any other case where people were shot by the police, because it was dark. She come running down there, didn't say who she was. She come running down there and it's dark, and he in a paddock, so he pulls out his gun. He probably maybe should have waited, but he panicked. He said he put and he fired a shot, and unfortunately, this white lady lost her life. And see, here's the kicker, Brother Ellen Richard. The Fraternal Order Police in Minnesota, who's run by the way, a racist bigot and stuff. They showed him doing the George Floyd thing. Him, all them FOPs and stuff in Minnesota, in the national FOP, none of them backed this black officer for shooting this white woman, even his white partner, Three Money the Bus. Now, you know, historically, that's not the case. When black or white policemen kill black people, they get the support of the FOP, not only locally, Elliot and Richard, but they get the support nationally. You know what I mean? But not in his case. When he shot this white woman, his black behind is in jail. You know what I mean? See, I mean, they just show you time and time.
I think she got 25 million?
She got 40 million. She got 40 million. Whereas Brianna Taylor's family only got 12 million. You know what I mean? And stuff. She gets 40 million because, again, a white life was lost in this country. Values white life. You know what I'm saying? I mean, just examples after example about the injustice and stuff. And that's why I say Charles Barkley, Shaquille O'Neal, like Brother Elliott so correctly said, Brother Richard, them Negroes are put up there because the white man or the white establishment hire these silly Negroes. They know their mindset. Because, like I said, Barkley or Shaquille O'Neal wouldn't have said that dumb shit had there been a white woman killed under the same circumstance. They would have knew better than that come out their mouth. But they think so low of themselves because they suffer from self-hatred. See, don't let the money fool you, Brother Richard. Them Negroes might be millionaires, but they hate themselves. They hate their blackness, and they hate anything black. So they think so less of themselves and their people. They would say something like that where they know they wouldn't have said that about a Caucasian woman that would have died under the same circumstance. Them Negroes are sick, man. And they ain't by themselves. It's a whole bunch of these house Negroes that they got in the media, and they got like the Larry Elders of the world and their ilk and stuff. These Negroes are traitors, and they need to be ostracized. I would like to do other things to them Negroes, but at the very least, they need to be ostracized out the black community, because too often these Negroes do stuff like that to the black community. Could they make some little bogus donation to some kind of black organization? We give them a free pass. Well, he did, but he donated money to the NAACP, or he might have donated money to the Urban League, or he might have donated money to X. Well, I don't give a damn if Charles Barkley, Larry Elder, or Shaquille O'Neal donate $1 billion to Mar, them Negroes can go to hell, far as I'm concerned. That you can say that you can sit there and disgrace this sister's legacy and stuff when her life is cut short on a bunch of racist foolishness. And you can say, I don't care what kind of money you can write. You ain't a check you can write big enough. That's blood money. Y'all Negroes go to hell, as far as I'm concerned. And that's why we got to start treating these Negroes like they're a pariah. Because too often, male or female, these Negroes get a free pass from us. We got to start treating them like the pariahs that they are. And then maybe the rest of them Negroes, male and female, they'll get the point that this kind of stuff is not going to be tolerated by us in the black community. And that's the only way you're going to stop them Negroes in their tracks. Just make treat them like a pariah. And like I say, lucky is just a pariah, because it may come a time, like Sister Harriet Tubman had to do back in the day, where some of them Negroes might have to be taken out of here for their traitorous ways. But at the very least, in the interim, we should need to treat them like the pariahs that they are. And boy, anyway, Brother Elliott and Richard, thanks for your time. I'll sit back and listen to the rest of the show. Brother Elliott, could you put me on mute?
All right. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome, good brother.
We got some time left for the program. We got one or two callers left on the line. We're going to take a brief break, and when we come back, we're going to start heading down the home stretch, Richard.
Okay.
And with the time we got left, if you want to join in the conversation, you could do that by dialing 215-490-9832. Again, that's 215-490-9832. Time for an awakening. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Time for an Awakening. Time for an Awakening with host Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network, the largest independent black digital radio and podcasting platform. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
All Insurance Incorporated, an African-American owned and operated insurance agency in business for over 20 years, located at 231 Southeastern Road in Glenside, PA, with other offices in Germantown and West Philadelphia. Call now for commercial insurance quotes, homeowners insurance quotes, automobile insurance quotes, notary and tax services, representing over 15 major A-rated insurance companies, offering a discount on all notary services when you call in for a free quote. Call this number, 215-885-2444. That number is 215-885-2444. 215-885-2444. All Insurance Incorporated.
RG Electrical Inspections provides electrical inspections for realtors, licensed electricians, and homeowners. Licensed and insured underwriter, serving Philadelphia and surrounding area. Call today, 484-268-9837.
Escape the digital plantation. Abibitumi.com, Abibitumi.tv, Abibitumi.tv.com, Abibitumi.store are here for you. You are ready to be free of non-African social media. Don't run from danger, run to safety. Abibitumi.com is here for you. You are ready to be free of digital plantations to control your own products. Abibitumi.store is here for you. Abibitumi. Black Power. Abibitumi. The only word you need to know to join your global Kometsu Black family, to join your interconnected Kometsu Black communities. Escape the digital plantation now. Abibitumi.com, Abibitumi.tv, Abibitumi.tv.com, Abibitumi.store. We are here for you. Escape the digital plantation.
And I think we are in a new era, a new phase of the struggle, where we have moved from a struggle for decency, which characterized our struggle for 10 or 12 years, to a struggle for genuine equality. And this is where we are getting the resistance, because there was never any intention to go this far. People were reacting to Bull Connor and to Jim Clark rather than acting in good faith for the realization of genuine equality.
Do you think white people in this country, and I'm talking about non-segregationists, people devoid or thinking they're devoid of racism, do you have any idea of what they want the Negro to be in America?
I think the vast majority of white Americans will go but so far. It's a kind of installment plan for equality, and they are always looking for an excuse to go but so far.
Up, you mighty race. You can accomplish what you will. Build your future on these foundations: freedom, justice, and equality. What is the definition of freedom, justice, and equality for the black man, and where and when is it to be attained?
Well, take equality first. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad doesn't teach us to associate equality with whites. Equality has nothing to do with whites. We don't want to be equal with the white man. He's not the criteria or yardstick by which equality is measured. He's not in a position to tell us we are equal. It's not his right. It's not his to do. Equality, we want equality. We had equality before the white man was created. We had equality before the white man came into existence. And we want equality whether the white man is on this earth or not. Equality means the opportunity to develop all of our dormant potential, all of our dormant capability. In developing this dormant capability, the right and the ability to stand on this earth on some land of our own and bring about a civilization and a society in which we will be completely independent, complete freedom to take care of the needs, to take care of the wants and the likes and the dislikes of our people, to establish our own nation, our own society, our own heaven, our own future. This is what we mean by freedom, by equality. And justice means, as you sow, so shall you reap. If you do wrong, you'll get wrong in return. And if you do right, you'll get right in return. When you're in your own nation, in your own land, you're in a position to get justice. But when you're in another man's country, in another man's land, under another man's flag, and under another man's government, and under another man's court system, you have to look to that other man for justice, and you'll never get it. And Negroes in this country probably are authorities on that.
Because, now listen carefully now, America has to pay for the sins that she has committed, the genocide of the native people, the transatlantic slave trade that brought us here, the lynchings, the brutality, the killing of us without any thought of justice coming to us. Do you think that God is pleased? The system of white supremacy rules the political, educational, spiritual, cultural, economic, legal, whatever you want. White supremacy is ruling. So don't get it twisted.
One black man believes in violence. One believes in integration. One believes that one day after we all marry white women, we'll all be a light brown color and there'll be no problem. One believes that if we get enough politics and education, we can take over the country and be the mayor and the president. One believes, such as I, that separating on some land will solve it, cleaning up our own neighborhoods, respecting our own women, and doing something for ourselves and quit begging white people. This is our solution.
Welcome back to Time for an Awakening. It's 9:23.
Time for an Awakening with host Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Now we're right. 9:23 here, city of Philadelphia. We coming down the home stretch here. You could try to slip in the time we have left by dialing 215-490-9832. Again, that's 215-490-9832. Let's go to 646.
Hey, what's happening, Richard and Elliot? Hey, listen, man. I love the way Research West was dancing the night like Sammy Davis Jr. and Baryshnikov when y'all had to check him on his nonsense. It was beautiful, Wes. I didn't know you was that light on your feet, baby. Keep it up. Now, y'all were talking earlier in regards to the gatekeepers. So-called Negroes like Roland Martin and the rest of them, the Joy Reeds and all of the others, who just trying to, as y'all said, to get us to integrate with the devil. You know, it becomes very clear the older you get that things that one as a black man says that has to do with any form of sovereignty or moving away from the paradigm of white acceptance, and can we all get along and be a part of white society? The more and more these classless and class Negroes come out against us. You never notice at any time on any of these shows somebody talking from an African perspective. You never notice at any time a Roland Martin who, listen, I have to give him some credit sometime when it's due. I think that he deconstructed this whole nonsense that Trump was coming at the people with this so-called platinum plan or whatever the name of the plan is. The way he deconstructed it with the economists, I have to give him some credit. But the emphasis is always on one thing, making the Democrat and the Democratic Party be the Negro savior. It's never about really, really any true independence or moving forward to a position of power and strength and sovereignty in the direction of really having true ownership and competing with this no good, filthy, stinking white man. For some reason, if the white man ain't the overseer of it, then it ain't no good. I just don't understand it. I don't get it. I'm just puzzled by it. But then, like my good brother Ralph was saying earlier, you have a Negro, and no, Otis, he wasn't talking about Larry Elder in regards to the statement about Breonna Taylor. He was talking about one of these conspiracy theorist Negroes. I find them to be a comic show myself and a comedian on a half-wit level, Darren Muhammad. See, Negroes like Darren Muhammad are very, very dangerous because the things that they say, nobody really checks them on it, and they get away with it because they know ain't nobody gonna call them out really on it. But for anybody, and that goes for the baby Tom, see, I don't want to call him an Uncle Tom, Charles Barkley, and the big baby Tom, Shaq. The one thing about Barkley is he done showed you for many, many years what he think of you, because every night he go home to that ugly, 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 ugly white woman. Now, as far as Shaq go, Shaq, he loved the police. He loved law enforcement because he was trained that way by his stepdaddy. So should I give him a pass for it? I don't know. I really don't pay him no mind because I'm clear. What gives them the right to speak about anything anyway? What gives them the right to even make it seem as though they in some sort of leadership position in regards to the struggle of black people, African people, or whatever? I mean, when you have things going on in the white community, and when that young little white savage went out there and killed them other two dumb white folks, did you see any white person run and say anything in regards to him other than raising some damn money for his white ass so that he could get the best defense? Nobody rushed to condemn him or to try and make it seem as though he was out of order and that he put himself in that position. There was no white person who did that. So what gives Barkley and the rest of these clowns the right to say anything about a sister who was in her house, minding her business, in her bed, sleeping, and got slaughtered? That's what the real question is. Who cares if at some point in time she dated a drug dealer? So what? Clem did a lot of things that I ain't supposed to have done. The thing boils down to, what was she doing at the time of her murder? She was handling her business. She became an EMT. She was getting ready to go back to school. I think she had a child because she was taking care of her child. She was with a man who wasn't selling drugs. She was in a home that, unfortunately, the guy who she was selling drugs was using without her knowledge. They knew this. They understood this. But I guess, like Otis said, they were trying to get people out of the community because they want to do the gentrification thing. But what gives anybody the right, and why it always got to be the Negro, to question a sister who was murdered? It's just like every time I turn around, I hear these Negroes talking about, we died for the right to vote. No, your black ass was killed for the opportunity to vote, and now they're about to take it away from your black behind. Just like they're about to take a whole bunch of other things away from your black behind, and you don't even see it, and you don't even realize it, because your so-called white brethren, who you want to be like, and what you want to have, they dumb white cousin done allowed the con man to con them into the position to where, as now, they gonna lose everything in the little bit that they dumb white asses have in the country. So as far as I'm concerned, thank you, sweet baby Jesus. And I'm hoping that the bastards don't wake up soon enough and that they deserve what they get. Because like I said earlier, the ancestors don't give a damn about this fight. The ancestors don't care about if America fall. If the truth be told, I think the ancestors will be quite happy that this place may no longer be viable to oppress people. Because, hey, the times done came out, and they done said that old Trumpy Trumpster ain't been paying no taxes in the last 10, 15 years. Now, wasn't that one of the main reasons why Romney wasn't able to beat Puff the Magic Negro? Because of his whole tax situation and him not really paying taxes and him being this and him being that. But here it is, y'all allow a con man to dupe your dumbasses and to put you in the position to where as you about to lose any and everything. Now here it is. He been saying for the last 6 years that he's gonna come up with a better medical plan than Obama or care or whatever. I wanna see it now, because there's gonna be a whole lot of white folks that ain't gonna have no medical coverage. Their mama and the daddy ain't gonna have no medical coverage, ain't got no money to pay for no medical coverage. And if you got any money and you're a decent child, you gonna spend your little bit on your mama and daddy to keep their white ass alive. I tell them, let them die as far as I'm concerned. But hey, that's the reality of what's about to come. All because you wanna protect and keep whiteness in play. But Lord, let me tell you, whiteness gonna cause you a whole lot of problems, because you don't want to give the Negro nothing. You don't want the Negro to have nothing. And what you haven't failed to realize is the little bit that the Negro ever gets always benefits your white ass. So, I mean, we just in a funny, funny quagmire in this country in the matter and where race relations cause so much harm to white folks because of their mental sickness of racism. So I don't know what we gonna do, and I don't know what's gonna happen. But I tell you, I'm gonna have me a glass of iced tea, a little bit of popcorn, and some potato chips, and maybe some pretzels Tuesday night, and I'm gonna sit back and watch this entertainment. Now let me just say this right quick. If I was Joe Biden, this is how I would start the debate off. Donald Trump, for the last 4 years, you've been nothing but a con man, a liar, a tax cheat. You never tell the truth. You done caused thousands of people to lose their life for the economy to drop. And I'll stop right there, liar. And then, you know, Donald Trump will come back with his little nonsense. And then he'll go into the whole thing about your son. And what I would say to Trump right there is, stop right there. Can you tell me what is your wife's special skill to allow her to get the status of being an Einstein genius to get citizenship in this country? That right there would absolutely blow him away. That would discombobulate him. And then after you discombobulate him with that, I would then really take a nice jab at him and say to him, why is it that you had to pay a porn star for sex and not be mad enough to tell the truth about it? Is it because, as I can see, Donald, you have little hands? And at that point in time, he should basically have owned them and discombobulated them to the point that it ain't no telling what he may do or what he may say. But I don't think Sleepy Joe is that bright to formulate that type of attack that would just take this fool off of center on that level. But that's what I would do. You know what I mean?
You know what I'm going to do Tuesday night? If I'm watching the television, I might watch some reruns of Sanford and Son or something. That's better than watching that crap.
Sanford and Son. Not Sanford and Son.
Whatever.
Archie Bunker when George Jefferson came to the house.
Yeah,
that may be a little bit better, Elliot. But it's going to be entertaining. That's why you got to have your iced tea, your popcorn, your pretzels, and, you know, your potato chips, because you got to have something to munch on to watch it, because it's gonna be amazing. And then, you know, the Negro's going to come a-running, talking about, oh, how bad he is, oh, how good Joe was, all of that, to try and do what, Richard and Elliot, integrate us into a burning building of whiteness. They never, ever have anybody talking about anything from an African perspective. It amazes me. You know, I remember the one time your boy Roland Martin had a brother, a good young brother. I wish you could get him on your show one day, out from Baltimore. Real, real, real beautiful brother, intelligent brother, a brother that's conscious, young. he's on it. Adam Jackson.
We tried to.
Yeah, brother Adam Jackson. Man, he had that clown Angela Rye on there. She talking a Democratic Party, and he spanked her, served her, and told her, no, what I want is I want African freedom. I want to have black-owned businesses. I want black folks to be on the forefront. I don't want to be kowtowing and begging white folks for nothing. You know something? Roland ain't never had him on the show again. Now, that's the type of brother that needs to be on these shows every now and then to give young folks a perspective on what blackness is and what it should be. Matter of fact, he's had another young brother who I dig, Philip Askew. You know what I mean? I think Philip been on there maybe one or two times after that. But I tell you, man, Adam Jackson, that's a good young brother who got a strong constitution and a strong and beautiful consciousness that, hey, look, he's trying to open the eyes of our people. So, you know, it is what it is. And listen, Little Joe, I ain't got nothing to say about these Negroes, man, and what they do. Because I can't say anything to change it. Because, you know, the Democratic Party is going to be there for them, I guess, in ways that men like me and you ain't going to be there for them. Because I just been asking this one question. What they going to do if Trump get back in office? Because I know from a Democratic Party standpoint, the blacks who praise the party so much, I think they're gonna get rid of a lot of them. I mean, because I can't understand how Simone Sanders could ever or should ever get a job within the Democratic Party. She was first with Bernie, and now she's supposed to be one of the key people with Biden, and it seems like she's gonna be a two-time loser. So I want to know is, she ain't white, so I want to know why the Democratic Party would keep her and some of these other Negro gatekeepers around. You know what I mean? They don't serve them like Sharpton do. So I'm going to be wondering if the Jason Johnsons and the rest of them, the one that I do hope that they keep around is my boo, Tiffany Cross, because I do like her. You know what I mean? But, you know, maybe Joy, she'll stick around because she's a good Negro. But the rest of them, I wonder what's going to happen to them because, you know, they pay contributors. They start them off with $150,000 a year. You know that, right?
No, I don't, but bring it on home for me.
Huh?
I said bring it on home for me.
Well, I'm going to bring it home. I'm going to bring it home with this, what we going to do. If he get back in office, because he's a con man, he's a liar. It seems as though from what they're saying in the Time article that he's desperate for money. That, I mean, if you think about it, I heard somebody give the best analysis about him was that he was looking to basically put him in a position to start another network and be able to get a hold of some money. So now what is he going to do? Because I don't think that they're going to let him get away with as much, even though he will serve a serious purpose in his second term. But then again, I got to say this. After what they just shown themselves to be able to do with this whole Supreme Court nominee and put this woman on the Supreme Court, I don't know what these bastards may be able to do moving forward because the hypocrisy of society to let this happen and go through, I guess, tells it all to me. So, hey, listen, Richard and Elliot, have a beautiful week. Maybe y'all coming to work on Friday night. And, hey, put me on mute.
Thank you, sir, for your call. Richard. come up to the end of another program, but I see we got a call just jumped on here, and let's go to Detroit. I think it's the doctor, Richard. It's the doctor on the line.
Detroit? Yes, sir. Brother Richard?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Now, I just wanted to call and encourage you all. You all are doing such excellent work, and I wanted to leave you all with, because I know we're getting time is tight. But brother, what y'all doing is so positive, and I get tired of people talking about what's so wrong with black folks. But from a position of, like, you know, we get props for being hell of a entertainers and hell of a folks in sports, you know. But we approach sports like we're gonna win. You know what I'm saying? Not like, you know, we can't win. We can't do nothing. There ain't no hope. No, we gonna win, brother. Cause we gonna fight. Now, you down for this fight or not? If not, get the fuck out of here. I mean, excuse my language. I'm sorry. Excuse me, brother. But you know, this is the east side of Detroit coming out of me. But I get tired of people talking about what we can't do. And y'all are a living, breathing example of this. Now, brothers, I just suggest a strategy. And this is what gets me. People will talk about revolution, got little sense of strategy. Amilcar Cabral once said, because the struggle is long, it's protracted, we must be sure to mask no difficulties. Tell no lies and claim no easy victories, okay? It's a protracted struggle. So you got to have something more than this one's a time, this one ain't with us. You know, at one time, the slaves on the plantation thought Nat Turner was a Tom. Did you know that?
Yes, they did.
You know what I'm saying? So people, it strikes me that people have a little sense of strategy. Now, I'm going to suggest this one for your consideration, Brother Ellie and Brother Richard. What if you make an agreement with some of the folks who may be calling, right, or maybe listening? Look, your vote is not your identity. It's just a tactic. It ain't even a strategy. I'm not telling who you to vote for, but I damn sure tell you who to vote against, okay? You got to get these folks out because lives matter right now. Yours might not, but the people with underlying conditions, their lives matter. And I get tired of black folks talking about how much they love black people and spend most of their time talking about how much they hate black people.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm saying, now I'm doing Elliot and Richard. Tell me if I'm not staying in my lane. We say, you all vote against that guy. Get him out of office so we can get this other person in, not because we want him, just because he ain't this guy. However, we may join you in that, but you got to make a deal with us. That is, we're going to build independent black institutions like this.
There you go.
Right here. So we just make a deal. We don't tell the black people, you wrong for doing what you want to do with voting against this guy. One, because they're not. Their vote is not their identity. And brother was right. We didn't die for the right to vote. People were killed for the right to vote, among many other things. However, because the struggle is long, I want to keep this relationship with you. I'm saying I will join you in that. But I'm asking you to join me in this. Now, when Brother Elliot and Brother Richard are doing this, I want that promise from you, because I went to the polls with you and got that guy out. You see what I'm saying? But to make these quid pro quo, because they not our identity. We got some sense of strategy. Every war ends, not every. Most wars end with something called a treaty. That is, you're going to make an arrangement. You're going to make an arrangement because you want to. You're going to make an arrangement because you're compelled to. Or you are going to make an arrangement because there are arms pointed at you. You know what I'm saying? But you're going to sign this here. And we're going to make an arrangement based on this. So deals are going to be made. But the deals don't have to be something that compromise you as an individual or your integrity or your revolutionary sensibility. Revolutionaries fought in order to win. They weren't fighting just to fight. So this is what I propose. I don't know. Are you still here? Am I still here, brother?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yes, sir. So I'm saying, what is the strategies that you propose? And to stop playing checkers and play chess, or just get a whole different chessboard. There are saints. We appear to come here, and we go. We appear to come right, we go left. We appear to go to the rear, we go into the front. But folks strike me when they got one simplistic approach. Brother, how many of us have seen the spook who sat by the door? You know what I'm saying? And we laud it, as we should. That was a crafty thing you did. You know what I'm saying? But often we up there, if the people ain't punching their car with some revolutionary credentials 3, 4, 5 times, you know how, just to pull an example, you know how Lenin got to the Russian Revolution? Do you know how he got there physically, Brother Richard, Brother Elliot? It's not a test. I'm just saying it rhetorically. The Germans sent him there. They sent him there because they thought he would encourage the Russians to leave the war. I'm sorry, I said it. Let me make sure I got my... Yeah, that's right. He was sent there, but they required that he go through a SEAL train so none of that Bolshevism would leak out before he got to Moscow. That is, they sent him, they facilitated his arrival there because they thought it would undermine his enemies. So that's how Lenin gets to Russia, because he was in exile. You see? I hope I got my countries right, because I've had a bit of the vino tonight. You know how I get on Sunday night, Brother Richard, Brother Elliot. I can't be getting war wrong, because that's what I teach here, brother. But what I'm saying is that strategy you can use. Mao has a chapter called The Enemy as Supply Source. So to think creatively, and we creative. That's why we play ball so well. Fake left. The crossover is set up because... The crossover is set up because you go strong to the right or strong to the left. So when you fake one way or the other, like Iverson could do with his ball with his hands still on the ball, you trip him up in the crossover. But sometimes folks that start talking about politics got no sense of that. That's what Malcolm said. He said these words verbatim. He said, we don't understand the science of politics, the science of economics. He said that verbatim. But some of us study Malcolm, so we do that. You set it up. Don't think of a brother or sister's position defines their commitment to revolutionary struggle. One of the problems with our revolutionary struggle, unlike in the Irish Revolution, we didn't put enough people up in those police departments. Mm-hmm. When the Irish revolutionaries, they had so infiltrated the police that when the police was moving the vamp on them, like Fred Hampton at 4 a.m., when they were moving the vamp on them, they vamped on the police. And this is where we put our people. But it takes being patient with our people, and the patience born of what? Respect and love and appreciation. But I get tired of folks telling me they love black people and spend most of their time talking about how much they hate black people. Mm-hmm. Is that fair? This is what brother said it before. He said, the brother that wasn't even big on the church, Brother Richard, Brother Elliot, he said, but I get so tired of talking to faithless Negroes. Ain't got faith in nothing, typically except themselves. You see? But people of faith, you can mobilize and organize them. Didn't that Turner show you how? But against obstacles that many of us cannot imagine. And we can't do this for a vote. Okay. And that does it against the whole, one of the most powerful countries in the world. You see what I'm saying? So I'm saying to take inspiration, use culture as a reference and not as a resource. I'm sorry, it's not just a reference. And what you all are doing, using media the way you are doing to transform minds, to inspire folks, I just call you because I want you all to be inspired because what you're doing is so promising and it uplifts me even as it's in its great diversity. It uplifts me because I hear so much of the positive spirit of black folks. And it's not positive related to some Pollyanna foolishness. It's positiveness born of the successes we had and continue to have that you all that you also do an excellent job of highlighting. And you also critique the shortcomings. I appreciate that as well because we learn from those as well. But I so appreciate what you all are doing, and I just wanted to call because, I don't know, it's Sunday, and I wanted to encourage y'all, brothers, because you're doing just wonderful work, and thanks for bringing these voices out here, especially from Philly.
I want to make sure everybody know that now I'm up to Cruz part in Dr. Henderson's book.
Thank you, Brother Richard. Thank you. We got to get Brother Elliot reading. I never heard Brother Elliot say. I think Brother Elliot waiting on the cliff notes from you, Brother Richard.
Yeah, well.
Mustard with Brother Richard first.
Hey, Dr. Henderson.
I'm teasing, Brother Elliot. I'm teasing.
check your email. I want to get in touch with Dr. Levice.
Yes, oh, yes.
I definitely will
follow up with you.
Okay, good.
Tom Levice, wonderful brother.
Yeah. Yes, sir. We'll talk soon. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you, brother.
Appreciate it.
Richard, what a better way to kind of cap off the program.
Yes. So appreciative.
Before we leave tonight, let me give the lineup on Time for Unawakening Media. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, African Perspectives with Brother Oshi. That's 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. From 6 to 8 later on that afternoon, Acres of Diamonds with Brother Jihad Ahmed. That's 6 to 8 on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays. From 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Maria Kamban and Sister Nataki as hosts. And from 9 to 10, every first and third Monday, which tomorrow would be a program, Conversation Reparations. That's in Cobra's program from 9 to 10 on Monday. From 8 to 10 on Tuesday, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. On Thursdays after 7 with host Shani B. On Fridays, Time for an Awakening is back from 8 to 10 on Friday evenings. At Saturdays, Black Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers from 4 to 6 on Time for an Awakening Media. And from 7 to 9, later that Saturday evening, the Elders of Sankofa with host Alfonso Watkins. And then on Sunday, Time for an Awakening is back from 7 until the Black Farmers Program that was scheduled to start in August has been delayed, and it will start September's over, so sometime in October, the Black Farmers Program will start, which with a lot of interesting projects and things that you can get involved in and a lot of valuable information. So look forward to that coming soon on Time for an Awakening Media. I want to thank everybody for listening to the program this evening. Lively discussion, as always, and we'll be back on Friday, Lord willing, to continue on this path towards an awakening. Peace.
Peace.
If you're driving through the country on a lazy afternoon, your children playing after school, they seem to be so unaware. I know the things that they'll soon have to take care of. Always say we know about the problem. to save the children.